And welcome to Harp Column Podcast, taking you behind the stories in Harp Column from a practical harpist perspective. My name is Christina Finch, and I will be your guide to all things harp. For episode 7, we turn yet again to the advice column, featuring harpists Ann Sullivan, Michelle Gott, and Megan Bledsoe Ward. Today's episode is jam-packed, so I thought we'd go ahead and get to it. As always, Harp Column Podcast is brought to you by Harp Column Music at harpcolumnmusic.com. To get things started, I'll have each of these fascinating ladies introduce themselves.
I'm Ann Sullivan. I am a harpist. How about that? And I'm originally from the Philadelphia area. Now I live in State College. And for the past few years, my work has been increasingly online. I have a website called Harp Mastery. You can find it at harpmastery.com. I blog and I teach and coach and generally try to support harpists however I can.
I'm Megan Bledsoe Ward. I too am a harpist. And I'm originally from Anchorage, Alaska. And right now I'm based in Honolulu. And I work in both places. I play regularly with the Anchorage Symphony Orchestra and some small orchestras in the Pacific Northwest and Hawaii. I teach and perform. My most recent project is called Pacific Harp Project. And it is a jazz quartet that incorporates traditional solo and harp and orchestral repertoire into a jazz setting, so we improvise over traditional harp repertoire.
My name is Michelle Gott. I'm based in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. I teach at the University of Ottawa, and I play in a flute and harp duo called Gaffer and Gott with the wonderful Joanna Gaffer.
You each have students that are playing in orchestra. When do you begin putting students into a large ensemble environment, and what kind of benefits do you see from that?
To have like a set age is kind of silly. This is all very individual. If it's possible for a student to start working in small groups, so for example, like a harp ensemble or just a duo, what I try to do with my students, even on the simplest level, even if you're just playing a round where everyone's got a single line, but they're learning how to be independent and to layer those parts and stay together rhythmically, start working in the small groups so your ears start to open and then expand from there.
I don't have a set because their skills have to be at a certain level. They have to be comfortable enough with the instrument that they could look away from your music stand and watch the conductor, or making sure that you understand enough about your music to market properly. It's really a skill level, and balancing that skill level with when they're first asked to play, because I love my students to do just about everything that they can. If it's a situation where I can work with the director so that we can make what the director wants to ask of them appropriate to their own skill level, even if they're not playing the whole part, if we can make it work, I'd love for them to do it, because the more experiences a young harpist has, the better their playing's going to be, the more interested they're going to be, and the more they're going to find out what they really like and love maybe about playing the harp.
I agree. The harp is such a solo instrument that we don't get a lot of opportunity to play with other people, and it really helps develop skills like listening outside of ourselves and rhythm and watching the conductor and just working with people and communicating with people that are really great for music but are really great for other things too. Those are some of the best benefits that I see from students working in ensembles. And for that reason, it's really great to have them have as much experience as possible.
What do you do for your students in order to help them ease into a large ensemble environment?
I have to say that it's much easier working with my students to prepare them for orchestra than it was for my teacher to work with me. And that's because when I was learning orchestra parts, we didn't have YouTube, which really is such a tremendous resource. I actually had to go to a record store and hope that they had the right record. So when my students need to hear how a part goes, when they need to really understand and actually work with a recording, they can go right to YouTube. I'm pretty specific with my students in how we prepare for their orchestra parts, and I make sure that they are on top of stuff and that we know what they're doing and can handle it. And when I can, I try to visit a rehearsal and see what's going on, just so that I can help them that way.
The one thing I tell my students all the time, which means they don't always listen, is just that you really do need to access recordings and you do need to understand the context in which you're playing. I try to teach them a lot about writing the right kind of cues, because sometimes you think, like if you're just looking at a score, you think, oh, that's the cue I'm going to be listening for, when actually there's something else in the texture that really stands out more than the thing that visually you thought was going to be your anchor point.
That's exactly right. I work with YouTube videos. I have them listen to recordings and play along with me in lessons. I do some of the conducting so they're comfortable with what it's going to look like, how the conductor hopefully is going to bring them in, how to listen, how to count, how to bring a pencil and the right shoes, all of these little things that, you know, you pick up along the way or you come overly prepared. So I try to make sure that each of these details are in place for them. And I agree with 100% going to a rehearsal with them, making sure that they're doing all these things in practice, that they know how to work with people and how to interact with the conductor. If something is not working, that's a really powerful tool also. And know that it's not always going to be perfect, but when it's not, they have the tools to deal with it if they can come prepared and come with good communication skills and an open mind, then they'll make great music.
You're listening to Harp Column Podcast number 7. You can read more harp news, opinions, feature stories, and subscribe to the print magazine at www.harpcolumn.com. Today we are talking to Anne Sullivan, Michelle Gott, and Megan Bledsoe Ward about student harpists in orchestra. Speaking on conductors and directors of ensembles, have any of you had any challenging directors you've had to work with? And what is your favorite piece to recommend for a director that knows nothing about the harp?
You know, I haven't encountered any directors who are so difficult to work with. I find most people, if they're working with young people, then they're pretty positive. And by and large, they're really open to having help and having some guidance. I do have a piece that, if I had my way, all harp students would start with. And that piece is Night on Bald Mountain, because it's so straightforward and the harp gets a beautiful exposed solo at the end. It's very low pressure, but it's really satisfying and fun to play. It's not technically difficult, but, you know, we can always develop evenness in that arpeggio and the phrasing, and we learn to watch the conductor at the end, but it's not high stakes.
I don't have a top favorite piece to recommend, mostly because, once again, it's going to depend on the student. So, but I do love when my student is going to get to play something that has some sort of exposed part, because then they're really going to feel like they're doing something. So much of the time, you know, harp parts get lost in the thicker texture, and, you know, the big congratulatory comment from your parents gets to be, oh, I actually heard you. It would be nice to be able to go beyond that, you know? So I think that when I'm talking to a director, one of the things I like to talk about, and actually I use this sometimes with students and sometimes with the parents, because sometimes parents get upset if their harp student isn't playing all the time. And sometimes directors think they have to play all the time. And I tell them that harp is like special teams in football. You know, it's like the kicker. The kicker's not on the field all the time, but then the kicker comes out and has to get it through the goalpost. And that's what we harpists are doing. We're not playing all the time, but we're coming out and playing it when it counts, and we're going to get it right. We're going to nail it. And that's our job. When I explain it like that, the director can sort of understand that, okay, I don't have to make my poor student a harp part out of a violin part for every single piece on the concert. It's okay if they only play one piece or two pieces, as long as that part is going to provide a meaningful experience to the student. And I find that that really helps directors actually understand that, okay, this is what we're looking for in a harp part. They don't have to play all the time, but they have to have a meaningful role.
Here I'm going to actually disagree with Anne a little bit. I think sometimes there are benefits to having a harp part that is a little bit hidden, because some students are really afraid to play an orchestra for the first time, and having a part that's not going to stand out on your own. Talk about low pressure and low stakes. It really allows you to listen to the rest of the ensemble, play as loud as you want, and you have a safety net there. So some, I think there are benefits that I agree that we don't need to play all the time, and it is really, really powerful to have exposed parts. But I think there are benefits to both sides, and it really depends on the student.
I think the difficulty sometimes with conductors and harpists, the trick comes in establishing from the very first rehearsal that, number one, you can count, and number two, you have good rhythm. Because sometimes people don't really understand the harp that well, but they understand if you're not in the right place at the right time or if you're not playing the right rhythm. I do agree, you know, of course, that if you're working with young kids, I would really hope that, you know, they hire people who have good energy with young students and are willing to challenge them without berating them. You have to have that healthy balance of pushing and also encouraging. But if a student just really establishes that they're not just in their own world and that they are listening, they are there when they're supposed to be, even if it's a single note, that does a lot to establish the trust between what the teacher is doing with the student, what the student is doing on their own, and what the conductor needs from that relationship. I actually think the Moldau is sort of nice, because the harp does have these exposed moments, but it's great for the orchestra, and this touches on something else, which is just that, of course, we want your students to play, you know, significant parts and to have those first experiences with the big rep, but the level of the group and what is edifying and meaningful for the whole ensemble, not just the harp.
Where can people find you out in the world?
Well, you can find me most easily at harpmastery.com, which is, of course, where I blog. It's sort of my little virtual home. And you can find out about what's going on. I hold free webinars just about every month on different musical and harp-related topics. And just about everything else about me you can find there. I do have Harp Mastery Facebook page, and by the time you hear this, you should be able to join my brand new Facebook group, Harp Happiness Headquarters, Harp Happiness Institute. So you can look for my Facebook group there as well.
I have a website, which is just my name, michellegott.com, Facebook, and Twitter. The handle is gotharp.
I have a website, meganbledsoeward.com, and as I mentioned earlier, the big project that I'm working on is called Pacific Harp Project. We just released our debut album in December, and we have a website called pacificharpproject.com, and there are Facebook pages for both of those. There's also a Twitter. It's at PAC Harp Project.
That's it for Episode 7. A huge thank you to Anne Sullivan, Michelle Gott, and Megan Bledsoe Ward for speaking with us. Music for today's episode is from the Pacific Harp Project's debut self-titled album featuring our own Megan Bledsoe Ward, available through iTunes and Amazon Music. To learn more about Harp Column, please visit www.harpcolumn.com and subscribe to gain access to current and past issues, as well as a lot of great web content. Thank you for joining us. My name is Christina Finch, and we at Harp Column hope you have a spectacular week.